From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rat on a glorious day with the mountains covered in snow and sunshine and dry weather down below. My name's Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains in the east of Slovakia in a town called Poprad, hence Postcard from Poprad. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, Audio Boo, and you lovely folks on RTI. This is your alternative news programme of the week, loosely said, and joining us over on the zit of the nose of Europe, it is Lee Banks.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to
You forgot
that...
the boys and girls.
Oh, sorry, hang on. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, and dogs and cats, and pigeons and budgies, and anything else that might be listening at this moment.
Right.
I'd just like to say that, unlike Eric, we do not have any dryness down below. It's as wet as ever.
Yes, incontinence pads normally work.
I didn't mean anything like that. You just have to lower the tone of this show at any given moment that you think it's applicable.
I do. And Mark Gander's travelling back on a train which is going slowly. So the likelihood of him joining us this week is about zero. So you just got the dynamic duo this week, and the Three Musketeers will be back next week. We've got to start off with the sad news, as always, because Davy Jones... Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean? And sadly, the 1960s/70s pop icon of the Monkees, Davy Jones, has died at the age of 66 in the USA. So many amazing tributes to him, and so many people that loved him, and so many people that saw him. And, of course, they had massive hits with the Monkees signature tune. Then you had I'm a Believer, Last Train to Clarksville. And I actually saw them in London.
And he was a little monkey, wasn't he, actually, when you think Davy Jones?
Well, yes, and a lot of people missed out from the fact that he was also in your favourite TV programme.
I was just going to say that.
Coronation Street. He's gone quiet on me now. Are you sulking?
Oh, I'm not sulking. Somebody just knocked on the door. I was having a little peek out of the window to see if I wanted to answer it. But I don't, because I don't know who it is. It might be the police. Anyway, he was. And I liked him. I remember him actually being in Coronation Street right at the beginning.
Yes.
Right at the beginning of Coronation Street. And he was good. And the thing with Davy Jones is that he never really changed. He kept his accent. He got that bit of a sort of transatlantic twang to it, but he stayed true to his Mancunian. Remember, he was a Mancunian.
True, yeah. And I guess...
And actually, the Buke... Sorry, carry on.
I guess, actually, I'm just trying to think whether Cream was first or them. But I suppose in terms, of created boy bands...
What, Cream were a created boy band?
Well, they were a created band. They weren't a real band. They were configured. They were put together as bodies in their own right. And to make this super group. That was what
Ladies
Cream was.
And gentlemen, what a load of rubbish.
They
this
were
talk.
A super group. They were put together
they were
as
a super group.
Yeah, put together as a super group. Whereas the Monkees were a boy band.
I see what you mean. Yes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I apologise for insulting him a second ago then.
My God.
You're right. I understand. No, I can tell you what, I can tell you the truth about that.
Go on.
Well, they were billed as the American Beatles.
That's right.
And what it was that the Beatles had moved on from being the average sort of psychedelic pop band that they were and had started to move into films and were making, you know, films like Hard Day's Night and stuff like that, which were rubbish films, but had got that sort of psychedelic edge to them and that sort of comedy area. And the Monkees were put together to make films and be the first pop band to make a TV series.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So they were a manufactured band. Yeah, I am so sorry that
Thank you very much indeed. Anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed them. They were great fun in...
Good music.
Well, yeah, it was good at the time.
Listen to Last Train at Clarksville now. Brilliant song. Real punchy, good rock and roll pop.
It was good at the time.
It still is.
Rock and roll, listen to it.
I'll take the last train to Clarksville.
I'll be meeting at the station. Yeah. Right,
it wasn't about drugs either. At that time, it was one of the few songs that weren't about drugs.
Well, that's also true. They were very squeaky clean as well, weren't they?
Yeah, Mickey Delancey's become a bit... Well, he's a film producer now, isn't he, and things
well,
like
yes,
that.
Yes, and of course, he was in Tarzan originally, Mickey
he
Dolenz.
He was, yes. That's right, proving again your theory that I poo-pooed.
Yes,
that
slightly.
That put together band.
Anyway, on to some very sad news now.
Yeah, this is bad.
The police officer who was blinded by the lunatic Raoul Moats in the UK has been found dead by officers at his home in Blyth in Northumberland after returning from a break in Australia. It is well noted that the poor guy was really, really depressed. He just about had enough. And you just can't even put into words how terrible that entire thing was. And I'm sorry, but those that were on Facebook sort of bemoaning the fact we're all being nasty about Raoul Moats, please don't do it, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how insane you are, you know you're not supposed to stick a gun in somebody's face. And so I do have...
Particularly when there weren't any threats here, as he wasn't. He was just sitting in his car, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was just there. So our condolences do go... It, with heartfelt sympathy to all those that knew, worked with, and the relatives of David Rathman, who, in my opinion, was a modern-day hero. And
I wanted to say that, yeah, because he did go out and he tried, even though he was depressed, and if you think how awful, I actually tried to imagine last night what it would be like to
I
wake up.
I can't imagine it. I just can't imagine.
Not be able to see, to wake up into a blackness.
And
the pain that he had, the physical pain that he still had.
Well, he was interviewed on Sky, or I think it was Sky News, actually, where he said the problem he had was he'd lost the images of his family in his mind. And at that point, you know, it is just so tragic. So we just hope, sir, that you are now resting in peace upstairs and you're looking down, and the one or two that do care about you, you'll notice them. So thank you for being there, David Rathbone, for all those years you were in the police force, and also the rest of your colleagues around the UK and around the world that try and keep idiots in order. What a job. I wouldn't want it. Over to Springfield. Lee.
Springfield, yeah. Betty Fleming celebrates her 22nd birthday this year. But she's not looking her age, apparently. She's not looking her age because she's actually 88. She was, what's that thing called? A leap year baby.
Yes.
Leap year. And I tell you what, 88 years old, and now she can only officially go out for a drink on her own.
At 22 years young. That's got to be quite good, isn't it?
Well, I think it is, yeah. It's one of those things. But if she only got a present once every whatever it is.
4 years.
4 years.
That's not fair.
Yeah. That's terrible, isn't it? That's like
disgusting.
My kids. I never buy them anything except once every 4 years. Well, that's because they've just been bad.
Yeah, well, you don't buy anybody anything, for goodness sake. Remember Christmas? What did you get?
What did I get for Christmas?
No, what did you get your lovely, lovely lady for Christmas?
I'm not saying.
No, because you can't.
I can't because I didn't. I did. The year before, you know what I did do, though?
What that?
The year before. I've got to be honest, yes, ladies
and
gentlemen.
I'll tell you what he did. He put a ribbon around his tummy.
It wasn't around my tummy.
It was around your tummy for the purposes of this programme. He put a ribbon around his tummy and goes, Happy Christmas.
Well, the previous year, what I did for her, and she was, I can't say she was 100% pleased about this, but she felt that she knew the emotion that I'd put into this gift. There was this Bob Dylan book that I really wanted. So I bought it and gave it her, knowing that she'd give it to me.
Yeah, right. Bad news for the UK.
Oh, Engelbert smelly dunk, yeah.
Engelbert Humperdinck. Which I can never get my head around at all. And I can't even think of anything outside of his only hit that I know, Release Me.
Well, you're going to be nasty about him, aren't you? And I'm going to defend him.
Well, He's 75 years old, boys and girls. And
you can't hurt him. You can't upset him. You might be listening.
You might not.
He's having a cup of Horlicks now.
Well, he hasn't got his hearing aid in, so how's he going to hear us? He was chosen to be the Eurovision Song Contest personage for the UK. He's 75 years old. Eurovision was supposed to be for new acts and young things, like it was in the 60s, and it's kind of stayed there.
It's always been rubbish, and it always will be rubbish. People like Engelbert Nimbleblanc should be able to go in it to, like, brighten it up. It's an old codgers show. There's only old codgers watching. How many young people do you know watch the Eurovision Song Contest? And if they do, they should be taken out and shot.
Well, that's just included us because you and I have commentated on it.
That's different. We were famous. We were commentating.
All right, then. Mark, I have to say, I'd like a pound or a euro or even a dollar for every time I've played the last waltz at the end of a disco for a wedding.
Yeah, exactly. Don't, ladies and gentlemen, don't let him mislead you on this.
What?
Emble Plinkle Doggle Stink, right, is the man who actually recorded, and he took this off the list, and I am going to interject it. He actually recorded the Lesbian Seagull for Beavis and Butthead. Now, how modern's that?
I suppose with a name like Arnold Dorsey...
He wasn't called Arnold Dorsey. They've got that wrong on this list. Who was Jerry Dorsey?
No, you're getting the everybody mixed up, aren't you?
Who's Jerry Dorsey, then?
Not Jerry Dorsey. The other Dorsey. He was a trumpet player?
That's Thingy Dorsey.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, to be honest, I don't care. It's rubbish. It's boring. We've got a 75-year-old in a young person's competition. But I have to take my hat off to Ireland, which again this year has got Jedward in it.
Oh, no. I like
Jedward. Well, actually, it would be really funny if Jedward was to beat him, wouldn't it?
Well, if they had a running race, they'd have a chance.
Well, yeah. And let's face, I'm not being horrible to them, but Jedward aren't the most talented people on the planet, and yet they still manage to get all these bookings.
Well, actually, why do we say they're not talented? I agree with you. On the face of it, I don't think they're talented at all. But actually, to command the sort of audiences they do, that's it. You're quite right. They are talentless. And it is this world that now demands talentless people as their celebrities because it makes them feel like they could get there too. Jedward are a load of idiots.
Says a lot for us then, really, doesn't it?
We'd be called Willy Banks.
Willy Banks. Oh, my word. Anyway, story we spoke about last year, which has come back in the news again this year. Ryan Giggs has lost his damages claim against the Sun.
Somebody stood up for the red top.
It's all to do with this thing when he was named on Twitter. And then because it was all around the world, I have to say I agree with the Sun. Because everybody else knew about it, and he had an injunction against the local. Because I have to say, in the global terms, UK press is local. Anybody could go on the...
Oh, and Slovak press isn't.
It is local to Slovakia. UK press is local to the UK.
The US press is local to the US.
Yeah. And my point being that the trouble is these local injunctions on the press...
Yeah,
and yet anybody on the planet with an internet connection, which is a lot more than the newspapers in the UK in readership terms, could find out that Giggs was being a naughty boy, and yet the Sun couldn't write about it. Well, it was just pathetic.
Well, he's a little bit deeper than that, isn't it, when you think? Because any other newspaper could write about it as well, based on the fact that it was out on Twitter and on the internet and the world. Yeah. It was only the Sun who couldn't do it.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah. So anyway, the sensible judge has said, no, And that's, we've mentioned him before, Mr. Justice Tugendhat.
I know, I just thought, I've just seen his name. And on the subject of Mr. Giggs being a bit forward with a young lady called Imogene Thomas, if indeed he ever was.
Yeah.
Right, the judge would have to be called Tugendhat, wouldn't he?
Yeah. But we mentioned him before because he does seem to have this bit of sanity. Do you remember?
Really?
Yeah, he's done. There's a couple of these where he's sort of gone, no, don't agree, don't care what the lawyers say, let's do the logical thing. And to be honest, I think he's done the logical thing.
Well, I suppose if he'd got any real sanity, he'd change his name, though. It's like
No. Moving along, he says, there's a bit of a furore at the moment because the gentleman who was in charge at the time when there was a really nasty rail crash in the UK, a John Armit, he was actually chief executive for the company at the time, where the train crash resulted in an 85-year-old lady being killed, that's Margaret Mason, and left 86 people injured on the West Coast line. Now, he's had to go to a magistrate's court where they've stuck their hands up, quite rightly, because there's no defence, and said, look, it's our responsibility for the crash 5 years ago. Since then, Mr. Mason has moved on, and he's now involved with the Olympics system of getting all the bits together and getting them all organised. And all of a sudden, he's been given a knighthood, so he's now Sir John. Well, of course, the son of the woman that was killed in the train crash up in Cumbria is absolutely outraged by it. And the bit that annoys me, he was given his honour not for services to the Olympic Delivery Authority, but to engineering when a train crashed.
I know. It's one of those difficult ones, isn't it? Generally, I tend to jump on the side of, nah, this shouldn't have happened because of that. But in fact, you know, it was a one-off thing, wasn't it? It's not like trains were crashing willy-nilly, you know, and people were getting killed all over the place. Mm. It's a one-off. There are things, even in the best run.
All right, let's turn this round a bit then. So you're now the editor of the Lee Daily.
Yeah.
And one of your sub juniors, whatever, does something wrong. You then have to stand in front of the board of directors of the Lee Daily, who own the newspaper, and go, well, it wasn't my fault really, Gov, it was another one.
Well, I can see your point. Yeah, there is the responsibility of the people at the top, isn't there?
Mm.
Yeah, it's not so much then, I suppose my feeling is it's not so much that he's got this knighthood. It's, it's the timing of it. And Britain seems to be absolutely ludicrous at timing things. Why give this out? Why if they'd really wanted this bloke to have his knighthood and he deserved it and there was no reason at all why he shouldn't get it, why didn't they just slip it under the door on a different day in a different week?
Well, if they'd
week,
given it to him
month?
For the Olympics
rather
than engineering, it might have stood up. But to give it to him for engineering when he was in charge of the rail company, engineering caused a death, he's just beyond my comprehension. I just don't get it. Or perhaps I'm being thick.
No, I don't think you're being thick at all. I think you're being perfectly sensible, and I think it indicates the.
Are you okay today?
I'm a bit depressed, really.
Yeah, hang on. I think that's my doorbell.
Should I carry on?
Raddo, we're in the middle of a radio program. Where are you?
It's that Raddo again. I tell you what, he's everywhere. Yeah, he's got a little bleed point on the side of his head.
Lee, it's all yours for the next 2 minutes while I open the door.
All right, that's it, Raddo. I thank you for this moment of fame. Yeah, I'm just thinking about what Eric was saying then about this knighthood. Well, as far as I'm concerned, there is a strange thing in Britain. We don't really care about sensibilities. We pretend to. We're very polite. We talk and act as if we care about people. But we actually don't have any compassion, particularly at the top of our society. Our society at the top is cold and hard. And genuinely, ladies and gentlemen, for those who have never been in Britain, it is jobs for the boys. And I think this smacks of something like jobs for the boys.
I think
this
you're right.
Yeah,
I do exactly. think you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
Let him in.
I've let him in. Raddo has entered the building. The world take note.
I said he got a little tap on the side of his head for bleeding him. Like a rado. Yeah.
Stop it. Don't be rude.
I'm not a rado hater.
Not a rado hater. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Moving along. But I agree with what Lee's saying. The higher echelons and the timings don't always go together. The BBC. Oh, well. I'm jealous. The BBC.
Jealous?
Yes.
With those Muppets instead of you, the Muppet.
No, they'd be going, hey-ya! Like that.
Do you know that old joke?
What?
Well, what does a Muppet say when it goes into a sandwich shop?
I don't know. What does a Muppet say when it goes into a sandwich shop?
I'll have an am.
Yeah, I like it. Anyway, the BBC are working with the Muppet creators on a chat show. The idea of this.
I thought you'd like this. I think this is just natural proof of what I've always been saying for the past few months, that this is the absolute pinnacle of the dumbing down of Britain's entertainment industry and how lacking in respect they are for our intelligence. Instead of having people like Jonathan Ross, who actually was one of our best interviewers ever, he's now a little bit of a mundane little mummy's boy, and all the others, we're now using puppets!
So you're telling me you're currently auditioning for a job at the Times as the art correspondent?
No, I don't want to do that. I just want to be an impoverished writer. Exactly. You know what? I've reached the point where I can't even afford a garret to start in.
Well, anyway, a BBC spokesperson said they were looking for a warm, funny, cheeky Saturday night host. And what they've done. No, you're not warm, funny, and cheeky.
Which one am I then? I'm
not what? You're just a old person. And
like a Muppet.
Yeah, like a Muppet. So they've spoken to the Jim Henson Company, which I think is Disney now, if I remember rightly.
I think it is as well. I think you're right. Yeah.
So anyway, they're speaking to them. And the idea is that it will be rather like the Muppet Show, but as a chat show,
James Bobbin, yeah, the director's called James Bobbin. That means it actually is going to be Bobbins.
No, it'll be a Muppet Show type thing. And you never know, it could be a modern-day version of, what was that thing on ITV where they used to take the mickey out? Spitting Image.
Spitting Image, yeah. Well, that was pretty good for its time, but then it had its death and disappeared, wasn't it? But
yeah.
No, it's not going to be like that. And I tell you what, there's going to be no sex scandals coming off it, are there?
not on a Saturday afternoon, you know.
So what's the sun going to do?
Well, I don't know.
The Sun on Sunday.
What about it?
Well, it's like, well, look, if this is going to be one of the biggest chat shows in the world, hosted by a puppet, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
A puppet.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And there's no sex scandal about it. What's the Sun going to write?
I don't know. But I mean, what was wrong with Orville then when he was doing chat shows?
Orville never did a chat show.
He did some interview shows.
He did not. Can he do did. Marvel interpersonation?
Go on then.
I forgot how to do it now.
What?
I'll do it when you're not looking.
Hello.
No, mine's better than yours. Mine sounds like him. Yours doesn't.
Yeah, well, because I haven't got my trousers on that are too small for me. anyway, so I look forward to that. Jim Henson Company doing I think that's just because it's just an amazing idea. I love
it's
it to bits.
It's a load of rubbish.
All right. Anyway, carrying along, if you've got a digital radio.
Don't get me.
He's going to start again. Digital radio users are being urged to retune or lose stations. Within the middle of all that, my favourite station, of course, Capital, is in a list of channels including Heart Choice, XFM, LBC, the greatest talk station on the planet ever.
And what does LBC stand for?
London Broadcasting Company originally, but it doesn't mean it now. It's just initials.
I thought it was large, big.
Stop it.
I thought it was London's biggest conversation.
No, that's the strap line that they use, but that's a radio term.
Oh, I see.
Yes, LBC and Kiss FM. But you're going to have to retune
your Kiss off as well.
Yeah, you're going to have to retune your radio, boys and girls, if you're in London, because otherwise you'll be getting nothing. You won't even get a hiss because it's digital radio. And it is advised, by the way, to retune your or auto-scan your digital radios and tellies on a regular basis.
But I thought they were supposed to tune themselves in. What is the benefit to digital radio? It does nothing. You can't get the proper pro FM. Oh, you know what?
What?
What? This is the truth as well. You've only just made me think of this.
What?
My Blue Punk, whatever it is, radio in the kitchen. My 1967 Blue Punk radio.
Yes.
Has died yesterday.
Good. Bury it.
No, but it sounded, it had a better sound, better quality, better dynamic range.
When I lived in London, I knew somebody like you, very similar in this idea that vinyl was warm.
Yeah.
When you put it into
this
one
when
of
when you make your ashtrays out of it.
Exactly, or put it in the oven and bend it. And, you know, you could only play stuff on old-fashioned equipment. So I had this ruddy...
That's what Martina says about you.
So I had this ruddy, great, old-fashioned case where once upon a life there was a 12-inch guitar speaker, an amplifier.
Yeah.
So I bodged something together and put a big speaker in, and on the back end of it was no bigger than a Matchbox MP3 player, in which I played vast decibels... Child in Time of Deep Purple fame.
Yeah.
To which he walks over and he looks at this box and he goes, "You see, Eric, I told you, when you play vinyl on a proper amplifier, it sounds wonderful." And I said, "It's an MP3 player and there's no valves."
What year was this?
About 15 years ago.
They didn't have MP3 players 15 years ago.
Did they have MP3 players 15 years ago? Thank you.
Who have you just asked?
Raddo.
Raddo, get back on the wall.
So, yes, they did. In fact, MP3 players have been out for around 20-odd years, Lee. Lee?
What?
20 years. Wake up.
I've not been asleep for 20. Who do you think I am, Rapunzel?
I don't know. I'm avoiding the next topic until we get to part two, because he's going to rant, boys and girls. I know he is. He's going to
I'm not, actually, because I haven't got a car.
Oh, no, because it's dead, isn't it?
Dead. Michael Mondeo.
Has he been squashed yet?
He's gone. He's in a little box now, a little casket sitting on top of a load of scrap iron in somebody's backyard.
So he's been squashed?
Squashed, battered, punched, wrecked, destroyed, insulted, ripped off, scratched, beaten, anything you can think of. That's what happens.
Have you run out of adjectives now?
No, I could go on for ages. Do you want to see how long I can go
on? No, I didn't mean it. Anyway, back to the plot. So if you are a digital radio owner in the London area, do have a retune. And in answer to your question, Lee, the beauty of digital is that you can get lots more channels in the same capacity.
Yeah, but it's a load of... And I have to say on this, and I agree, because now I have to say quite clearly, ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
if you're in Britain, do not... ever, ever again tune into BBC local radio. What a load of rubbish that is. It's got worse and worse and worse and worse.
Oh,
it's
don't.
Like
there's somebody who remained nameless who proudly put on Facebook the topic of conversation on a BBC local radio programme the other day. Guess what it was?
What?
Whether you should have white vinegar or brown vinegar on your fish and chips. I mean, what is that all about? I mean, taking them to the vets is one thing, but I think they should take him to the ruddy vets. Anyway, that's the end of part one of Postcard from Pop Brad for this week. We'll be back fast and you can have a milkshake, make a cup of tea, or even retune your digital radio. Lee and Eric, back in a second.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.